he once heard in the lecture of Srila Sridhar Maharaj that there are two ways of progress. One, in Russian, it was translated as constitutional, and the other one is revolutional. So can you please explain about...
Revolutionary.
Revolutionary.
Yeah.
And one is constitutional progress.
Okay.
What are the difference and what...
One thing is, first I want to say something about his last question from a few days back. Because that sloka, Etabhat Janma Sapalyam, that's how it begins. I meant that, because it was in my mind and I thought, where is this coming from? His question, for those who weren't with us in the last episode, was, can you use your intelligence in Krishna consciousness? Right? I mean, you know, basically, that was it. So it's a very interesting, I mean, we discussed that for some time, but what I was fumbling for at the time and couldn't recall quite clearly was in the Bhagavatam, it's after the... I think it's after the Aghasura Leela, and just before the pastimes with the so-called Yajnik Brahmins or the Vipra Patnis, means the wives of the Brahmins. This is a very famous pastime. Just before that, at the end of one chapter, Krishna is telling Balaram, as they look around the forest of Vrindavan, the trees and everything, and he's presenting this whole Vrindavan scene as if it is a glorification for Balaram, for Baladev. So, and interestingly, it's just some foundation for this. Guru Maharaj, let's think Vrindavan, just remind ourselves, Vaikunthir Prithivyadi Sakala Chinmoy, that everything there is made of chinmoy, of spiritual, it's spiritually conscious substance. So the flowers are spiritually conscious. Right? The tree from which the flower comes, the flower itself, the water, this, everything there is conscious. Right? As we heard recently with Mahaprabhu's sannyas that we just celebrated, when he approaches Jamuna, again, being bewildered by Nityananda, oh, Sripad, he sees the sannyas. Where are you going? I'm going to Vrindavan with you, in fact. Really? How did you know I was going? Look like a man who's going to Vrindavan. You know. But when Mahaprabhu, he leads him to the Ganga, which is, for certain technical reasons, also the Jamuna, the western side, whatever. Mahaprabhu, before jumping in and bathing there, he says what this famous sloka that has the word Chidananda. Chidananda bano sada nandashuno jagat prema datri something. Brahma drava gat. The Brahma drava part is of particular note here. Saying, you're liquid Brahman. Means your spiritual conscious spiritual consciousness in liquid form. That's also possible. Right? That's what the Jamuna is. That's what the it's spiritual consciousness that's appearing in the form of water or liquid. That's why spiritually advanced people, they'll take that water. Regardless of how it looks from an objective point of view, they know what the subjective aspect is. So they take that water on their head as purifying. They know what it is substantially. And Srila Guru Maharaj, even though it's Mahaprabhu's sannyas, past time, Mahaprabhu in the Jamuna, he goes into a whole explanation about the subjective evolution of consciousness. So he says, as you can have liquid spirit, you can have spirit in the form of sound, spirit in the form of touch, spirit in the form of taste, This is a very beautiful thing. This is what we're trying to pursue in Krishna consciousness. We taste the prasadam, smell the flowers offered to the deity, take the charnamritam. How all these seemingly mundane things became transformed. It's what's in the background. So Srila Guru Maharaj says, the Vedic rishis, this word rishi is interesting to say something meant. They address everything in a personal way. That's why they address the sun as a person, the river as a person. In modern times, they're trying to, with a broad brush, paint the idea that anyone who would refer to nature with any type of personality is primitive. And see, half-truth is worse than falsity. Yes, certain primitive peoples do that. But the non-primitive, super-advanced intellects of the ancient Vedic culture, they also addressed everything in a personal way. This is a unique distinction. And we shouldn't be seduced, you know, lulled into accepting this type of propaganda that anyone who thinks like this is foolish, primitive, backward, etc. We're victims of Western propaganda, in fact. So Guru Maharaj is pointing out, he says, the whole objective world is like an iceberg floating in an ocean of consciousness. All of this, it's easy to parody, because when they quote Bishop Berkeley, the philosopher, saying, the world is in the mind, someone will say, oh, I see what you're saying. Like, oh, you mean, like, this doesn't real, it's just in my mind. And everyone goes, ha, 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 ha. Right, it's just in my mind, this thing I'm touching, feeling. No, but Guru Maharaj will say, no, it's what he's telling you is it has its basis in consciousness, that you can feel it as a concept, that it's blue, that it's hard, that it has length, hardness, softness, length, width, breadth, depth. These are all concepts. And an object is a cluster of subjective concepts. That's what he's telling you by saying the world is in the mind. Not that it doesn't exist, but its existence is based upon consciousness. And consciousness is never devoid of personality. So therefore, and they turn to the river, he's saying, oh, daughter, you beautiful daughter of the sun. Right? Gopa, what is it? What is the words? Gopati tanayakunje, in another sloka, the one Gurudev quoted so often. So, Brahma Drava means spirit. He's saying, this is not ordinary water, it's spiritual consciousness. You are a person and you're representing yourself in the form of a river. So he's giving so many dandavats and obeisances and prayers and praise of Jamuna, and then taking those divine waters and bathing himself. So when Krishna and Balarama are in Vrindavan, what is that Vrindavan? That is the place, as Guru Maharaj told us. He said, where the soil is your guru, the land is your guru, it's of superior substance. That's Vaikunthya Prithivyadi Sakala Chinmoy. That type of Chinmoy. Your guru, it's the guru world. He told us of a world where everyone and everything in it is guru. Right? The soil is your guru. And in what way? That it has your interest at heart. You mean that we're in a plane where we're told, watch out for bird flu. Right? The soil can be your enemy. Maybe the soil is contaminated. Maybe the air is contaminated. Maybe the water is contaminated. And maybe I shouldn't use the word maybe. Did we start again? Oh, that's not bad.
Take 2 seconds.
I thought I had to, Okay, that I can do, as Guru Maharaj said. When Gurudev said, if I tell a lie in front of you and you won't say anything, you go, that I can do. So, that soil. So he said, there's a world where the world is Guru. Here, everything, this is the world of mortality where at every moment you have to, you know, who's got my back? You're looking over your shoulder. Have I got a test coming back from the hospital that's going to say that I've got some kind of, you know, terminal illness, I've got the virus, I got this, that, where there, it's, there's a certain amount of reasonable paranoia when you live in the world of mortality, right? But the world of immortality cannot be like that. That's where the soil is your friend, the water is your friend, the tree is your... Everyone there has your interest at heart. We can't imagine that because here it's Darwinian evolution to the extreme. Jivo jiva shijivanam. One living being living at the expense of another. One living being exploiting another. That's how you thrive here, through exploitation. That's the ugly truth of this world. You thrive here by exploiting others. So it's hard for us to conceive. At best, we can think, oh, I want to get free from that. Let me give up the world, give up this. When you see what it is, let me give up this world of exploitation, renounce it all. It's hard for us to conceive, or beyond our conception, that there's a world of dedication. We're just the opposite of true. Everything and everyone there has your interest at heart. And not only that, even more than you do. Has your, just as the benevolent guardian of a child has really the child's interest more than the child. I think any mother or father knows that. Because the child wants to do so many things that are not in their interest. So it's the expert guidance of the guardian, the loving, affectionate guardian, to somehow deal with them as a child, but with their self-interest at heart, and guide them in such a way toward their own real interest. Right? We hear in the Bhagavatam, what does it say? Dharmas, labo jivete yavata jiva shitatva vidyasa nartoyas cheha karmabhi that dharmak svanushtata pungsam. And there's some others in that section of the Bhagavatam. They're trying, loka hitam ripa. Sukadeva telling Parikit Maharaj, yeah, this is a good question because it's beneficial for everyone, not just for you. You're not just asking what's good for you, right? And to hell with everyone else. Your question is the best kind of question because it's beneficial for everyone. So we hear of a world that has our interest at heart. That is Vrindavan, right? That is our home. That's what we mean say, back to Godhead, back to that plane. So Krishna, in that world where we hear that, like Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur will point out, you don't see sages in Vrindavan. Rarely, right? But we know there are so many great sages. So then what should we think? He says, yes, in Vrindavan, they're like bumblebees, great sages are bees, birds, they're Shantarasa. But Shantarasa doesn't mean that they can't speak or convey anything. So we hear sometimes the king of the bumblebees, he starts madly dancing, singing the glories of Krishna. And so this, and everyone else is watching. All of the trees, the birds, Krishna, they're watching this mad dance of this bumblebee who's praising Krishna in perfect, you know, Sanskrit slokas. So that Krishna, he's telling Balaram, oh, Balaram, look at the trees. how they're, and we see trees hanging like this with fruit, full of fruits. But what Krishna is telling Balaram, no, they're giving dandavats to you. And they're offering their fruits to you. You're so wonderful. Look at them. And look at some of these trees, if you look carefully, they're stunned. They can't move. Why? And there's sap coming. They're crying tears of joy, ecstatic joy. Right? He's pointing to all of them. The peacocks are dancing. The trees are crying in ecstasy. The bees are singing your glories. You're so wonderful. So Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says that really, Krishna is not going to glorify himself. So as much as they're all, this is true for Baladev, it's equally true for Krishna. But Krishna's such a gentleman. And he has so much love and affection for Baladev. He's saying, this is all for you. As the two of them walk through the forest. And we hear elsewhere in the Bhagavatam how Krishna, how beautiful he looks at that time. Well, it comes in the next chapter. And this is the point I was going to make, is that so while Krishna's pointing out the beautiful atmosphere of Vrindavan and the ultimate chinmoy abode, he says, look at those trees. He wants to glorify the trees. And he said, they exist for the welfare of others. Even when it's blazing hot, they give shade and shelter and fruits. They nourish others without complaint. Think so. They're very tolerant. They exist for the benefit of others. Think this is the way one should be. And that's when he quotes this verse, etabhaj janma sapalyam, etc. Saying, this is what you should do with your life, is dedicate your mind, your body, your words, your resources, your intelligence, and divine service for the benefit of others. That's where he says that. And we see this is it's the foundation for the next chapter, because he's saying how he's glorifying these trees to the extreme. And we know the tree plays an important part in Mahaprabhu's teaching, Trinadapi Sunichena Tororapi Sahishnuna. It comes again, being tolerant of the tree, when it's blazing hot, still giving shade to those who have taken shelter, tolerating the heat, giving shelter at the same time. Tolerating and giving shelter, those are the two things to take away from that. He's saying that's an exalted position. Because we find in the next chapter, when they go to meet those Brahmins performing their sacrifice, they're not, what to speak of others, they're not prepared to give something for Krishna and Balaram themselves. So he just told beforehand what's going to happen by praising these trees. You should be magnanimous as the tree. Then the cowherd boys approach those Brahmins on behalf of Krishna and Balaram and get nothing. But that allows, Krishna always wants his pastimes to point to the devotion of the devotees, put them in the spotlight, the most exalted position. So their refusal, the refusal of the husbands to be magnanimous and generous, to serve, allows Krishna to say, approach their wives. And when the cowherd boys approach the wives of the Brahmins, they of course give everything happily. And he's making a point. The wives, they didn't go to the Gurukula, they were not brahmacharis, they don't know the Vedas, they can't quote all the slokas. He's making a point, a big point here. They have none of the type of, overt, stereotypical qualifications that their husbands do. Their husbands are supposed to be the one who's so qualified. They went to the Gurukula. They were brahmacharis, sense control. They studied the Vedas. They can do yajna. They can do all of this. But when the time comes to serve Krishna, to give the heart, it didn't affect their hearts. All of that learning, austerity, knowledge, gyan, etc., tapasya, charity, didn't melt the heart. But the wives, they had the melted heart. Jai Shalabhaki Bhima Avadut Maharaj. So the spotlight goes on their devotion, and they go running with their offerings that they've made and their kitchens to give to Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys. And when they come upon this scene in the forest, because Krishna, he's leaning on, he and Balaram, they love each other so much. Sometimes they just lean on each other. So Krishna's leaning on Baladev and saying, look at this wonderful scene here. Then those ladies come, see them surrounded by the cowherd boys. We're told Krishna has a lotus flower that in his hand, and he's spinning it. It's spinning around, this big lotus flower, like that. And this is the first time they ever see him. Because they heard about him from fruit sellers, flower sellers, ladies like that, and their village. They would come by and sing a song about some pastime that just happened, or tell something. And so throughout their lives, they're hearing about Krishna. And this is important too. They've never seen him, but just by hearing about him, Krishna's entered their hearts. So we hear nama, rupa, guna, lila. Sound, form, quality, pastimes. So from sound, the sound of Krishna, the sound of Krishna Nam, the sound of Krishna Katha, hearing about Krishna, how can we expect? We think, oh, I don't understand it all. Of course not. Krishna is infinite. We'll forever be in that position. As much as he wants to reveal, he reveals. But by hearing, pravishta karna randrena swanam balam saroruham, through the ear, Krishna conception enters the heart and then starts spreading its influence over the heart. So in this case, the hearts have been totally captured by the beauty, the sound of Krishna, the songs about Krishna reveal the divine form of Krishna. So they're already totally enamored with Krishna. And now here's their opportunity to see him personally, right? Up close and personal. And they go running, and they find in this clearing, there's Krishna. And Balaram says, Shyamam Hiranyaparidimbanamalya Barha Datu Prabala Navabesha Manavratamse Minyastamastamitarenu Dinanamabjam Karnot Pakal, what is it? Utpal Palaka Kapola Mukabjahasam. And he's with a big smile. And so they all come and they're all there. As the lotus, Krishna twirls this lotus flower, he said, their hearts start spinning in sympathy with that. So they're becoming dizzy, like seeing the beauty of Krishna, and he's twirling that lotus flower. They're all becoming a little ecstatically dizzy. It's mentioned now, Barha pidam nadabara bapu karnayo karnikaram bibrad basa kanaka kapisam vaijayantim chamalam randran bain urdhaya sudhaya puryangopa vrinde vrindaranyam supada ramanam pravishad gita kirti. Krishna with a peacock feather on his forehead, his beautiful lotus eyes, his hair is curling. And because of the cow herding, little dust, but like makeup, nice dust. And That's Krishna's makeup, is Gauraja. Dust, sandalwood pulp, beautiful aroma, but his hair is a little messy from all the cow herding. Guru Maharaj used this term, he said, agreeable negligence. Right? Like sometimes they show these supermodels and they go, here's the so-and-so, you know, here's the agreeable negligence look. Right? Krishna's the origin of the agreeable negligence look. He looks very beautiful. He's playing on his flute, and we're told streams of nectar are pouring out of his lips into the flute, and then from the flute again into the... So it's a nectar shower. A nectar shower of spiritual sound. Spiritual sound transformed to a nectar shower. So everyone in the environment is being nourished by that. Right? And what is he doing? He's playing like that, and they're all the cowherd boys. They're dancing and singing and entering the forest of Vrindavan. We're told, and the lotus feet of Krishna, as he's playing his flute and dancing, they're touching the earth. And the earth is a female, right? Again, everything is personified. But the earth, feeling the touch of the lotus feet of Krishna, the Gopa Vrindaranyam Swaparamanam Pravishad Gita Kirti, that Ramanam means, and that touch, she's not only experiencing ecstasy, but conjugal ecstasy at the touch of the lotus feet of Krishna. What does that mean? Then you have to reconceive Shanta Rasa. You can't have some stereotype, some fixed set idea of what the infinite is. So, I just wanted to say that about the last thing, about using your intelligence, because that's the sloka that talks about that. So what is the question this evening?
In the lecture, in some talk.
Oh, in a talk about conditional and revolutionary.
Yes.
Yeah, this is interesting. Yudhamanya Prabhu will be familiar with this as I bring it to mind. Is that they're the very, because this changed our lives. Guru Maharaj's explanation of this subject changed our lives. There's a sloka in the Bhagavad Gita, Swadharma Nidhanam Shreya Parob Dharmo Bhyavaha. It says, and I'm paraphrasing, it says, it's better to stay in your position, your constitutional position. Right? Even if it's imperfect, you stay there. You don't go outside of that. Just remain in your position. Because to follow something other than that is risky. It's dangerous. There's some danger, some risk involved. So you stay in your position. Right? So, and he said, this kind of advice is used in many different ways. Socially, you know, within a family, within a society, a country, a community, so many things. Right? Like I told you before, last time I was in the Ukraine, and one lady told her daughter, people in the Ukraine should believe in the Ukraine, the religion of the Ukraine. Right, she's saying, stay and, you know, don't go, what is this, Krishna consciousness or what? We have a particular way we believe here, and that you'll stay with that. So it says, swadharma, your dharma is this, don't cross it, and stick there. So Guru Maharaj, who teaches us that one of the hallmarks of spiritual life, and spiritual aspiration is honesty. Being honest with yourself. Sometimes people think honesty means just like offending other people. You know what I really think about you? Like in vino veritas. That's not what honesty as Gurudev said, my religion's finding fault with myself. It means applying, being brutally honest, so-called. Be careful with that word, because I know that's... brutally honest means extremely here with yourself. So Guru Maharaj, he will tell us, it's Bhagavad Gita, and Guru Maharaj says, when I heard that sloka, I was unhappy. He didn't like it. How can the guru tell you there's a sloka in the Bhagavad Gita he didn't like? Shouldn't he like all of them? Or there's some he's saying, well, I like most of them. I like the important, you know. No, how can the guru dare say, like, that's Guru Maharaj? And I heard that, he goes, I was disappointed. I got some, it didn't inspire me. Stay in your position. He said, but later, so that's constitutional. He said, but later, when I heard in the end of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, Sarvadharmam parichaja mam ekam sharanam braja. Give up everything and come to me. Give up everything and surrender to me. Guru Maharaj said, then I got some life. That I like to hear. Give up everything and go to the center. Right? He liked to quote the Upanishadic aphorism. Yes, men vidyate sarvam eva vidyatam bhavati. Try to know that one thing upon knowing which everything becomes known. Try to acquire that one thing upon acquiring everything is got. Right? This echoes in parallel Bhagavad Gita. Yam labva chapram labham manyate nadikam tataha. The famous so-called samadhi sloka, saying when you reach real Krishna consciousness, you'll feel, I got everything. There's nothing more than this. It's beyond my expectation. So anyway, Guru Maharaj says that when I heard Krishna's final advice, give up everything, come to me direct, this revolutionary position. Sometimes you say, Bhaktivinoda Thakur saying, safe route. Saraswati Thakur saying, no, we have no time for the gradual, slow process. You need to surrender yourself now, give yourself to Krishna wholly, fully. Don't doubt. Masu chaha. Right? Krishna's saying, don't worry. Once I said at the Guru Maharaj in the afternoon with Gurudev, there was about, it was that thing about the mosquito nets. When the mosquito, Gurudev was like really anxious. His first like big Gaur Purnima, many devotees are coming. And then he came upstairs, I was with Guru Maharaj, and he was all excited. He goes, the mosquito nets arrived, because they had, it was like down to the wire. And he said, now everyone will be happy. And Guru Maharaj says, and he goes, but the mosquito section, they will not be happy. And somehow we're talking about this Sarvadharma, and I... I mentioned masuchaha, which means like, don't worry. But I used it as a joke in that. And Guru Maharaj said, deep thinker. And I'm like, should I have not said that? But anyway, but to go back to the first thing, then after reaching the final advice, give up everything, come to me, surrender me, and don't worry, I'll give you shelter, I'll protect you. Guru Maharaj says also, Jiva Goswami said, of all the sadangas, the six aspects of surrender, this is the most important one. This forms the basis for everything else is, gopite varanam, offering yourself to Krishna. Then you can expect the protection and all these other things. But if that isn't there, all these other things are not substantial. So he said, Jiva Goswami said, of the six, this is the principal one. So Guru Maharaj said that gave him encouragement. And then he went back to re-explain the first sloka. He said, yes, what does it mean? Stay in your position. don't go outside. What it means is, he said, you have to think in this way. Why did you embrace that position to begin with, but ostensibly to make progress? That's why you're in that position. It represented an ideal to you. It personified an ideal, a goal that you want to achieve. So you're situated in that position. And as long as you're making progress, then you are to remain in that position. But then he said, but if by remaining in that position, not only am I not making progress, but I'm going down. I'm not only not making progress, but I'm going down. I'm going to go down. He said, then one will take the risk of leaving that position for the sake of making progress. Go the revolutionary route. So sometimes he framed this in our situation of time as society consciousness and God consciousness. He said, when, you know, an institution is formed to promote an ideal, minus the ideal, what is the purpose of that? Society consciousness and God consciousness. When society consciousness comes to hinder the development of God consciousness, then it's left, as he said, left away. He said, then one will take the risk, and it means that there's risk involved, to go separate or independent for the sake of progress. But these are things that have to be carefully considered. Right. Some would say, sometimes people would tell Guru Maharaj, don't tell these things. They'll be abused by neophyte devotees. Right. Bhaktivinoda Thakur addresses this in the Bhagavad. Oh, because someone will abuse the truth, I should tell them a falsity. Maybe. Paroksha bhavabedo yam balanam anushasanam. In the very infantile stage, maybe. It's the method the Vedas use for teaching children. It's how you teach children. They're not always told the full truth, gradually the truth. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, should I, because the truth, it invariably becomes abused, and then not only abused, but gradually becomes modified by individual temperament beyond recognition to the point where the truth is converted into falsity. Is that an argument not to speak the truth? No. And he said, particularly reformers, they will always speak the truth. They will take that risk. And Guru Maharaj is the same thing. His explanation about api chet suraracharo. And I said to him, I said that some God brothers objected, like that you should not give out this explanation. Guru Maharaj, he leaned forward and said, who are these God brothers? And I went, I don't know. Like, I said, you said. And he was just joking, and he laughed. He said, Jajavar Maharaj. He told me, even though this may be true, but in the hands of the less experienced or the self-serving, they will take this and abuse this. And Guru Maharaj said, but I don't care for them. Still, I will speak the truth, knowing fully well that it can be abused somewhat, it can be used for self-serving. I'm not going to speak something less because of the potential for abuse. You can always have a fool for a disciple. Mahaprabhu says, my guru said I should just take Krishna now. But Guru Maharaj said, I've told about this one guru He said, there is this one man. He somehow secured a disciple. And that disciple comes in and says, Gurudev, you know, show me the God. I want to see the God. And Gurudev says, all right. For 1 year, he's feeding him rasgola, sandesh, sweet rice. And every day you follow this program. He said, after 1 year, that disciple comes in. For 1 year, I still haven't realized God. And the guru said, for 1 year, you're eating rasgola, sandesh, and sweet rice. Do you think God is more than that? You ungrateful. He said, whereas another man, he approached the guru and said, I want to become a pundit. And the pundit said, and he said, can you make me a pundit? He said, yes. How will I know? He said, when what you know and what you don't know is the same to you, then you are a pundit. Really? Yes. So he goes off sometime and he comes back to the pundit and says, I think I've become a pundit now. Really? Yes. He goes, because what I knew, I forgot. And what I don't know, of course, that I don't know. So now what I know, they're both the same to me. So now am I a pundit? Because what I don't know and what I, is all the same. In other words, complete ignorance. That's also a possibility. It's still not an argument not to speak the truth. So Guru Maharaj realized in retrospect, oh, at that point in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is cautioning Arjuna about constitutional, your position in the world. But finally, he's giving his determination that take the risk. There is risk involved. There's risk involved in the pursuit of Krishna consciousness. Narada tells Veda Vyas, there's risk involved in this, but it's worth the risk. Because here, unlike other things, you take the risk and you don't get the full payoff, you're a loser. That's what Arjuna tells Krishna. If I understand this right, and he does the math about Krishna consciousness and says, what happens if I don't, I give up the world or certain aspects of the world, I get involved in Krishna consciousness, but I don't achieve perfection. Then all that time I dedicated to Krishna consciousness, I could have been developing myself. You know, I could have been somebody. You know, instead of what I am. That kind of thing. Saying I could have used all that energy. And Krishna is saying, no, nahi kalyana krit kasya durgatim tatagatsyati. You don't understand what this is. Here, you make 1%, 2% progress, that's forever. That's on your account forever, till the end of time, never taken away from you. Whereas here, you know, you become Hodorovsky, and you end up in a jail in Siberia. It's kind of like an inside thing. People are not laughing, I can say. But you understand what I'm saying. In other words, you get so much materially, there's no guarantee. You know what a chanson is? The chanson songs? And these are a type of music in Russia that's exclusive to Russia that some people say is the only music that young people and old people both like. Because usually old people hate the music of young people and young people don't like the music of old people. But chanson, everyone goes like, that's pretty good. And these songs, I've heard a few of them and had them translated by my friends. And the basic mood is that, I mean, one of the themes is, no matter how well things are going today, you could wake up in the morning dead in jail or, you know, so don't get too confident about your situation. And everyone knows there's some truth in that. That's what we're talking about. So however well you do, in the material world, ultimately you get some bad news. Let's put it that way. Ultimately, there's a knock at the door, a phone call, a medical test, or something you didn't count on that's really bad news. Right? Whereas what Narada is telling Vyas, if someone will at least just sincerely try for Krishna consciousness, and by their own metric, not by somebody else's standard, everyone has their own metric about what that will be. And that's why sincerity is the key point, right? And why this transcends age, gender, education, everything. It's all about sincerity. Nahi kalyana krit kaschid durgatim tatta gacchati. Krishna tells Arjuna, if you're sincere, you'll win. If you're sincere, you'll be victorious. Guru Maharaj said, sincerity is invincible. It can't be defeated. Right? Like this is the Chinese New Year. You go to China and they'll have in big letters somewhere, sincerity. Just floating in the air in China. Sincerity. Remind people, this is it. This is like the eternal quality that everybody should strive for. To be sincere, honest. Sincere in our approach. The Guru Maharaj said, the sincere will be victorious, sincerity is invincible. Krishna gives full reciprocation to sincerity. Sri Krishna, Karshini Chasa. This is what attracts Krishna, right? We know Gurudev liked to tell that story of the simple-hearted, sincere Vyad, which means hunter. And he's hunting every day, and what he's killed, he butchers, puts on a scale, he weighs it up on a scale, and he's selling that and making a living. And like you can still see today in India, when you go and weigh something, they have some metal weight, and it says like 250 grams. But you know, when they're doing something, whether they're weighing mangoes, whatever it is, it's not always perfect. They always have some stones on the side, and they throw on a stone, and then it goes like this, and they go, okay. You know. Yes. These are pakke dena, give me ripe mangoes. You know. Anyway, they always have some stone like that. So he's got meat on the scale, and then on the other side, a shellogram Sheila is the stone he throws on the scale to like balance everything. A Brahmin going by, just like one of the wives, husband, oh, Vipravatni, some Brahmin's going by and he's horrified. You fool! And he's like, what? That's a shellogram. That's not a stone. That's not. He's shocked to find out. The Brahmin, you give that to me. Oh, who knows the hell that awaits you for this type of operad? Anyway, please give to my care. I will offer the 64 articles of worship. I will do the different types of puja. I will say all the mantras. I will invoke the Lord's grace and we'll have the abhishek and some purificatory ritualistic process. And then he'll be in his right. I'll put him on the shingasan with the crown and the chandan, everything. And I'll beg the Lord on your behalf to forgive you that in your ignorance you committed these offenses. The hunter, simple-hearted man, gives. And we're told after all of that, that evening, the deity appears to the Brahmin and tells him, you fool! It's a hierarchy of foolishness from our position, not our Guru Varga, but from our plane. He says, you don't know what you've done. What? That hunter, he's my devotee. You don't know, he has so much devotion in his heart for me. He's in the position now of a hunter, and everything, but really in his heart, he has so much love and affection for me. He said, you can't imagine my happiness when I was swinging on his scale. So the deal, I'm swinging on my devotee's scale. I was in Vaikuntha. And what have you done with your mantras and your pujas and your mudras? So, what is Krishna consciousness? Sincerity. Mami Partha Bipasrita Yepi Shu Papayonio Striyo Vaisha Tata Shudash Tepianti Paramgatim. And Krishna is saying in this sloka, even a slight connection with me delivers the full result. Because he's the infinite. His hand is infinite. When Mahaprabhu serves, it's enough for six men. He can't serve less. When Krishna reciprocates, he reciprocates in his own coin. His coin is mercy, infinite mercy, love, affection. That's his coin. That's the currency that Krishna reciprocates with. So it says, Mam hi Partha. And that sloka, and Gurudev once said, why does he call Arjun Partha here? Arjun has so many names, right? Gudakesh, Arjun, Dhananjay. Right? What is another one? Falguni Krishna. Sri Krishna, Krishna, Saka Krishna, Rishabhavani Drug, Krishna Saka. Krishna's friend. There's all kinds of names for Arjun. But here, Partha, Gurudev said, and this is Gurudev extracting from Bhagavad Gita, mining gems from Bhagavad Gita. Why Partha? That's an allusion to Preeti, means Kunti Devi. It's saying, Partha, it's talking about if there's something that might be wrong, still you connect with Krishna, you get everything. It's saying, your mother, Kunti, when she was young, Partha. So he says it's an allusion to Kunti Devi. So he's saying any connection with Krishna consciousness, however slight, delivers the infinite. Because what it is, when the infinite comes under the control of the finite, that's devotion. And that's where its power is demonstrated. Sri Krishna Karshini Chasat, where Krishna is, Krishna, we're told, he is Akhil Rasamrita Murti, he is Krishna, irresistibly, all attractive. Everyone is irresistibly drawn in attraction to the absolute center of beauty, love, charm, and sweetness personified. That all attractive Krishna is irresistibly drawn to even a drop of devotion in the heart of a sincere devotee. That's the power of devotion. Hare Krishna.